Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You guys are clapping for that. Okay, all right. We like to think that we are in control, right? My life is going the way I've determined it should go. I am in charge. I have got things under control. And then it happens. Someone driving a car misses a stop sign. A spouse says, "I don't love you anymore." The doctor gives a diagnosis you are completely unprepared for. A child rebels. Your boss calls you in and says, "I am so sorry, but we're having to lay off some people." And instantly it becomes clear, I am not in control like I think I am. And it's not just big crisis. All kinds of things happen to us. Bullying happens. Puberty happens. No one asked for that. Breakups happen. Anxiety happens. Someday death will happen. This year, my family has had some stuff happen. Earlier this year, my wife's brother called from North Carolina and told us that their teenage son was really struggling with some stuff, and they didn't know what to do. They were at their wit's end, and so we hung up. We prayed about it. We called him back, and we said, "Hey, give him to us. Like give him to us for a few months. Let him live with us." And we thought that we could give his parents a break, and we were confident that it would go great and his life would be changed because he'd be living with us, and we're kind of awesome. And so he moved to Vegas, and he lived with us for like 3 months, and it did not go great, and his life was not changed. Turns out we are not so awesome, and it was really hard and discouraging. And then we got a call from my wife Jen's father. He's had cancer for years, but it's been in remission, and he told us it's back. But he had been scheduled for a bone marrow transplant, which was really good news, but the cancer started advancing so aggressively, they had to cancel the transplant, and that's not good, and it's been hard. And this year we took our daughter Marissa to college, which is hard, but you assume it's gonna go great, she's gonna love college, so Marissa is like the most amazing person you've ever met. I'm not biased, it's just true, but she's always had this thing where her whole life, she's always felt overwhelmed by almost everything. One example, I think not only has she gotten an A in every class she's ever taken, I think she's gotten an A on every test, everything, but at the beginning of every semester, she's completely overwhelmed, and she can't do all these classes, and then when tests come around, she's got all this anxiety, and every paper, and then she gets all A's, but she's always overwhelmed. So we drop her off at college, and she starts to feel really overwhelmed. She's never been away from home. She hardly knows anyone. College classes, her roommate situation was not good, and she starts really struggling with anxiety and some depression. And as her dad, like, you just want to help, right? Like, you would do literally anything for her, but she's 250 miles away, and really there is nothing you can do. And then one day she calls us, and she says, "Hey, I've got some big news." And I'm thinking, yes, something good's happened. Things are getting better. And she says, "I'm getting a tattoo." I'm like, great. She has spiraled into depression. She's getting a Mike Tyson face tattoo. Awesome. We like to think we are in control. You know, my life is going the way I have determined it should go. I am in charge, and then it happens. And it becomes very clear, I am not in control the way I think I am. And then we start to ask questions, right? Like, am I in control at all? Or am I just at the mercy of my circumstances? And like, is there really a God? And if there is, does he care about what's going on in my life? And is he going to do anything to help me? Today we're starting a new series called Shh, it happens, how to stay calm when it hits the fan. And what we're going to learn together is that God is real and that he really cares and he's really with us. In fact, we're going to learn that, yes, it happens, but God is with me no matter what happens. And yeah, stuff happens, but God is bigger than the stuff. So I am not at the mercy of circumstances because God is bigger than my circumstances. This truth was expressed in a very powerful statement in the Bible like 2,000-ish years ago in a book called Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says this. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." In this new teaching series that we're starting today, we're going to explore this statement. Even more, I hope that we actually start living this statement. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to see how when it happens, God can bring healing and give guidance, and he can change our lives with his amazing grace. Today is going to be kind of an introduction. What we're going to do is walk through that verse one phrase at a time and try to understand what is it really saying, okay? So we'll start with the phrase, in all things. It says, in all things. The guy who wrote this, his name was Paul. He was a Christian, and he wrote this to Christians. And part of what he's saying here is that all things happen to all people. Sometimes people have this mistaken belief, if I become a Christian, bad things won't happen to me. But the Bible never says that. In fact, in the same letter of Romans, it was a letter originally, we have it as a book of the Bible, but Paul writes to these people in Rome, and in chapter 5, he talks about how much we all suffer. In Romans 7, he talks about his own personal struggles. There is never a promise from God in the Bible that his followers won't experience problems. Instead, what Jesus promised was, in this world, you will have trouble. If you are a Christian, or if you become a Christian, you are not exempt from bad things happening. That's just not how it works. All stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, all stuff happens to all people. Why does it happen? Well, sometimes it's just because we live in a messed up world and messed up things happen. It's no one's fault. It just does. Sometimes it happens because we are the victims of other people's bad choices. And sometimes it happens because we are the victims of our own bad choices. Now, here's something really important to understand. The stuff that happens, the pain we experience, it can be a consequence of our sin, but it's not a punishment for our sin. Now, I talk to so many people, and we'll be like sitting at lunch or something, and they'll say this, the idea, they'll say something like, man, I did something bad, and so now I know something bad is going to happen to me. Or something bad is happening to me, so I must have done something bad to deserve that. No, that is not the way it works. One time, Jesus was talking to some people, and they asked him about this disaster that had happened, kind of a natural disaster, and it hurt a bunch of people. And they asked, was that God punishing them for what they've done? And Jesus said, no, because that's not the way it works. No matter what you think, no matter what you may have heard, pain can be a consequence of our sins, but it's not a punishment for our sins. So when something bad happens, don't blame God. He's not punishing you. Bad things happen because we live in a messed up world. Bad things happen. Sometimes it's the consequence of other people's sin, and sometimes it's the consequence of ours. And the reality is, all things happen to all people. Whether you believe in God or not, all things happen to all people. Traffic jams, work issues, not being able to find a spot in the parking lot, the flu, cancer, car problems, the Knights losing on Nevada Day. I thought that was unconstitutional. I misunderstood. I thought the Nevada team has to win on Nevada Day. I got that wrong. Listen, if you've been to a church and that church taught you or made you feel like, hey, if you love God enough, if you have enough faith, bad things won't happen to you. That's not true. God never said that. All things happen to all people. Okay? Next phrase says, in all things, God works. God works. What that does not say is everything happens for a reason. God never said that. Okay? It also doesn't say everything that happens is good. It's okay. God never said that. The Bible says that because of sin, things are not right in this world. Because of sin, the Bible says things are falling apart. Like, why are there plumbers and plastic surgeons? Things fall apart, right? Why do you get the warranty for the appliance and it breaks the day after your warranty ends? Things fall apart. Why do people put 12-year-old pictures on their online dating profiles? Things fall apart. I've seen the pictures you guys use. They're old. The promise God makes is not that everything is okay and that everything's going to work out. The promise is in all things, God works. All things happen to all people, and in all those things, God works. Do you realize that? Do you realize that God is working when you don't know God is working? I'm not sure I always know that. So I became a Christian at the age of 20 from a completely unchurched, non-Christian background. And now, looking back at the years since, the worst things that have happened to me, the worst things. When I almost died in a car accident, totaled my car, when my wife had to be hospitalized during both of her pregnancies for extended times, when she almost died, our son almost died because of his birth, when I had to fire one of my best friends at our church in Virginia, some of the struggles I've had leading two different churches, all those times, it felt like God was absent, like God had left the building and left me to struggle alone. But looking back now, man, I can see how God was working. Like, I didn't see it then, but now I see it. In fact, it's interesting. When I look back at all the good times I've experienced, it's really hard for me to be sure how God was working in those times. But the bad times when God seemed absent, now looking back, it's so clear how God was at work in my life. And God is working when you don't know he's working. God is also working when you're not working. Do you know that? I know that, but I don't always live that way. I think if you watch my life, you would think that I live like the Bible says, make sure that you're working on your circumstances, because if you're not, who will? But that's not what it says. It says that God is always working in your life. When you're not working, God is working. Whether you believe it or not, whether you can detect it or not, God is working. When you're sleeping, God is working. When you're confused and desperate, God is working. And when you believe that, man, that takes away a lot of stress. What's he working? That's the next phrase. It says, in all things, God works for the good. Now, this is often misunderstood. People think that what this means is that God will make good stuff happen to me. He'll give me good circumstances. So if I don't get the circumstance I want, it means God's going to give me a better one. If I don't get the job I want, it means that God has a better job for me. If the hot girl I'm interested in isn't interested in me, God must have an even hotter girl for me. That is not what God's promising, okay? He never promised that. And we need to know that, because people sometimes feel disappointed in God, like God let them down. I've met with people and they'll say, listen, I prayed for that job. I didn't get the job I wanted. Where is God? Like, he didn't come through for me, and I am done with him. But he didn't promise that he'd give you the job or the spouse or the winning lottery ticket. What did he promise? He promised to work for the good. And to understand what that means, we need to understand a really important distinction. That good stuff can happen to me, or good stuff can happen in me. Now, we generally want good stuff to happen to us, right? Like if we could hear each other's prayers, they're usually like, I want something good to happen to me. You know who else is like this? Our kids are like this, right? They're like, I want toys, I want games, fun trips, candy, I want candy. They want good things to happen to them, and we are a lot like kids in that way. Right? Our prayers. I want a better job, more money, a bigger house, a newer car, abs. I want abs. We want good stuff to happen to us. But if you love someone, if you really love someone, you are way more concerned with good things happening in them. Right? You realize that's way more important, right? Like, would I rather, like my kids, would I rather have good stuff happen to them, good salary, good car, good house, or would I rather have good stuff happen in them, good character, integrity, love, joy, humility, loyalty? No contest. Of course I'd rather have good stuff happen in my kids because I love them. And in fact, if you're a parent and you really love your kid and you're a good parent, well, that parent might be willing to have something bad happen to their child so that something good can happen in their child, right? We call this disciplining our kids. So your kid gets caught in a lie. You might not allow your child to have dessert, so something bad happens to them so that they'll learn to be honest, something good happens in them, right? Parents do that with their kids because they know that good stuff happening in their kids is way more important than good stuff happening to their kids. And the same is true for us. Good stuff happening in me is way more important than good stuff happening to me. And God is a good father. So he is way more concerned with what's happening in me than with what's happening to me. In fact, because he is a loving parent and a good father, he will sometimes allow bad things to happen to me so that it will help good things to happen in me. Check out what the Bible says in another book. It's called Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. It says, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. A couple of verses later it says, but God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. That saying, listen, when bad things happen to me, it's not God punishing me, but God will use it to grow me. Now, when you understand that, it just totally changes your perspective. Like when bad things happen, instead of hating life and being angry at God, you can actually have joy. That's what Paul writes earlier in the same letter of Romans in chapter 5. He writes, we can rejoice too, check this, when we run into problems and trials. Huh? Why? For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God loves you so much. He will allow some bad things to happen to you because he knows that often when bad things happen to you, good things happen in you. So I think about myself. Those worst things that happened to me, those have been the things that helped me grow the most. So like honestly, when I think about my life, I can't think of a time when I really grew when everything in my life was good. I can't think of it. Like every time I've really grown, it's been the result of something bad happening to me. The worst things that happened to me led to the best things that happened in me. circumstances. In all things, God works for the good. And so it may be that sometimes God gives you good circumstances. That does happen sometimes. He answers prayers in that way. But he is much more concerned with your character. He is not nearly as concerned with you having that promotion or the hot date or more money or a new car as he is with you having love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the promise being made to us, in all things, God works for the good, is not necessarily that good stuff will happen to you. It's something much, much, much better than that. If you let him, God will work so good stuff happens in you. So we're studying Romans 8:28 in this series, but I want to show you the next verse. Romans 8:29, the next sentence in this letter says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son." God knew you in advance. God has always loved you, and his plan is for you to become like Jesus. Now, you might wish that his plan was to always give you good circumstances, but his plan for you is so much better. I mean, like, reality, you're going to live on this earth for about maybe 80 years. And the good circumstances you want, job, house, hot date, abs, I just want abs, that will last 80 years at most. But what God is promising is not to give you good stuff. God promises to use all the stuff that happens to produce good stuff in you, to produce the character of Jesus in you, and that will last for all eternity. It's so much better. All right, next phrase. It says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him," of those who love him. That is amazing. God wants you to love him. And just to be clear, you don't find this anywhere else. But like, if you're looking for a God who wants loving relationship, who loves and wants to be loved, this is the only God where you get that. Like, every other conception of God is someone who wants to be obeyed and served. But God says, "I love you and I want you to love me." We have a loving God, and he has made a promise to those who love him. In all things, he works for the good. That raises a question, right? The question is, well, what does God do for those who don't love him? It doesn't say here, but Jesus told us once, he was teaching some people, and he taught them what we should do for people who don't love us. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." Jesus says, if you want to be like your Father in heaven, then you need to do good, not only to those who love you, but also to those who hate you. And so it seems that God is at work for the good of those who love him, and he's at work for the good of those who don't love him. He is such a gracious God. Now, those who don't love him, I think, make his work a little harder. In fact, they might use their free will to work against the good he is trying to do in their lives. But even still, God loves. He loves all of us, and he is working for good in all things. One more phrase, and it's actually the first phrase. I skipped it. I don't know if you noticed, but I want to go back to it. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." It says, "And we know." It doesn't say, "And we think that in all things." It doesn't say, "And we're guessing that in all." It doesn't say, "And we hope that in all things." No, it says, that this is something we can know. It's something we need to know because, like we said, when you know this, it totally changes your perspective. Like, it allows you to have peace and joy even when it happens. So, how can we become people who know this? We think, I just need to believe more. No, actually, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says not we have to believe more. It says we have to obey more. Check out what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17. He says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And so here's what that means. If you want to know the truth of what the Bible teaches, do what the Bible teaches. When you live by the truth, you'll experience the truth, and then you'll know it's true. You've experienced it. If you refuse to live by the truth, you'll never experience it, and you'll never know it. When I obey God, I find out that what God says is true, and that what He wants for me actually leads me to my best possible life. Like, a couple examples. So, God tells us to be generous, to give generously. If I don't, I will keep thinking for the rest of my life, I can't afford to be generous. And if I was generous, I wouldn't be able to afford the things I want to get. But when I obey God, I discover, wow, God generously provides for those who give generously. And it really is more blessed to give than to receive. I know that God is right, and I'll realize, man, I can't afford to not be generous. God tells us to be sexually pure. If I'm not, I will keep thinking, I couldn't do that, and that's crazy, and that would take fun out of life. But if I obey God, I start to know the peace of feeling pure and of not messing up another person, and I realize this really is the best way to live. God tells us to always speak the truth, to speak in love, but to always speak the truth. If I don't do that, I will just keep thinking for the rest of my life, that sounds nice, but you can't always. But if I obey God, then I will know what it's like to live life with a clear conscience and with integrity. So, how can we know? We need to know. How can we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him? I choose to start living by that truth as an act of obedience. And as I live by that truth, I will start to actually experience that truth, and I will come to a place where I know. And I'm going to be really honest with you, because I know this. I've lived it. I've experienced it. I know Romans 8, 28 is true. But sometimes I forget it. I know it, but sometimes I forget. So like, God's been working my life. He's done so much in me, especially when it was happening. But like this year, when all those different things happened, it was a battle for me to know that God was at work for my good, especially with my daughter. And then when I got that call, I'm getting a tattoo. Well, it turns out that it was not a Mike Tyson face tattoo. Her tattoo is on her wrist, and it's three words. It says, buried to grow. And she put a Facebook post explaining, I got her permission, by the way, but she put this, I've only been an adult for less than 3 months, but I already made a crazy and one of my best decisions yet, buried to grow. I've grown up constantly feeling buried by pretty much anything thrown at me, depression, anxiety, fear, expectations, uncertainty, you name it. This is a reminder I've always used that God has me in those seasons in order to grow. I like to think of a seed that is buried but grows a strong and beautiful tree once the season of growth has passed. The tattoo is on me forever, and I absolutely love it. But why did she get that tattoo? Because she knows that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And her tattoo was actually the reminder that I needed. And what we're going to do in this series is we're all going to get reminded for a few weeks of this truth. And I'm hoping, I've been praying that we will actually choose to live by this truth. And these next few weeks, we're going to see all kinds of ways, different ways God can work good in our lives when it happens. And I hope that you'll choose to be here for every week of the series. But right now, I wonder where in your life it is happening. It's happening, and maybe it's got you feeling overwhelmed. And I just want to tell you, if you feel like you are going under, if you just let him, God will bring growth out of that. So if your marriage is hard right now, you are buried to grow. If you're still single and you don't want to be anymore, you are buried to grow. If you are under a mountain of debt, you're buried to grow. If you are so tired of dealing with your boss or your parents or your neighbor, you are buried to grow. If your anxiety feels debilitating, you are buried to grow. You're buried to grow. And do you know who else was buried to grow? Jesus was killed on a cross to take the punishment for the sins that we deserve. All the world's sins came caving down on him, and he died. And he was buried in the ground, and 3 days later, life, new life for Jesus and for us. He was buried to grow. And we celebrate what Jesus did for us every week in communion. Around the room on the candlelit tables, there are little pieces of bread and little cups of juice. And by taking the bread and the juice, we remember Jesus' body and blood given for us on the cross. During the song that our band's about to play, if you'd like to take communion, you can get up and bring it back to your seat. And when you're ready, you can take that to thank Jesus and remember what he did. And if you're like, man, I'm just not there yet, totally understand that, and we're just glad that you're here today. Let's pray, and then we'll give you time to do that. God, we know that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. You are such a good God. Thank you for your grace. Help us to trust you so that we can have joy even in the worst seasons of life. Because we know that if we are buried, we are buried to grow. Hey, I'm Vince, pastor at Verve, and I want to thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you enjoyed the service. You know, we say that we're trying to help people to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down. And I hope we helped you to move a little in that direction today. If you live in the Las Vegas area, I want to personally invite you to come and experience Verve. I mean, it's great online, but it's even better in person. Verve, you'll find, is a totally safe environment for you to investigate Christianity and to grow in faith. And if you have kids, we have an awesome children's ministry right with every on-campus service. And so, why don't you come? And if you do, please say hi to me. I would love to meet you. So thanks again for joining us online. I hope that you have a great week, and vive la Verve.